Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, out in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Tamara Stark, the moderator for ICF Phoenix Blog Talk Radio show today. And it is my pleasure to have with me Molly O'Neill, who is the president of our ICF Phoenix chapter, and also Jessica Farnsworth from the Franklin Covey organization. And we are very excited about talking with them today about the PRISM Award that ICF Phoenix is offering, and also having Stephen Covey as our keynote speaker and presenter for the luncheon and for an afternoon session with him regarding the speed of trust. So welcome, Molly and Jessica.
Thank you.
Molly, let's start first with you and maybe tell our audience, remind our audience again what ICF Phoenix is all about, and then tell us about this exciting new PRISM Award that we're engaged in doing.
I'd be happy to do that, Tamara. The ICF Phoenix chapter is part of the International Coach Federation, and that is, it's also known as ICF, and it's the leading global coaching organization dedicated to advancing the coaching profession by setting high standards, providing independent certification, and building a worldwide network of credentialed coaches. And its core purpose is to advance the art, science, and practice of professional coaching. So the organization itself has over 20,000 members in 110 countries. There's 120 chapters in over 50 countries, and we have upwards of 8,000 coaches in 81 countries who hold an ICF coaching credential. And here in the Phoenix Valley, we have over 65 ICF credentialed coaches and 160 or 170 chapter members. That's a little bit about ICF Phoenix.
Share with us what brought the chapter to deciding to do the PRISM Award, and what is the PRISM Award?
That's a great question. The PRISM Award actually started up in Toronto with the chapter up there who was looking for a way to increase the awareness of coaching in that area and make it more available to the business community, to the community at large. And it was a very, very successful initiative, and it was adopted by the International Coach Federation and has been given on the international level since, I believe, 2005. And then a handful of metropolitan areas have adopted that award, and so we're very excited to be bringing the award here to Phoenix and to recognize organizations that are actually currently using coaching to develop leadership and business results in their organizations.
So this is really to, you know, put our feet to the metal and prove the impact of coaching in the Phoenix area.
Exactly. You know, the whole organization is really revolving around humanity flourishing, and I know that's a big bracket, and under that comes everything from one individual to a large corporate organization and all kinds of teams in between. And the amazing thing is that coaching is one of the most effective tools to develop human potential, team potential, organizational potential. And that's why it's so exciting to be, you know, letting Phoenix know, hey, this is available here.
Molly, how do we know that about coaching?
Well,
that it works.
There's been a lot of studies done, and the studies are becoming more and more based on hard, measurable fact. And before, you know, there was a lot of, you know, word of mouth, it works, you know, our organization has reached its goals, et cetera. But what we've tried to do in the recent years is to quantify that and get more scientific about it and say, okay, in what measurable ways has your organization exceeded or met or exceeded its goals that it went into the coaching initiative with. And we have had some tremendous, tremendous positive results.
So part of the PRISM Award will be to also articulate for the companies and the coaches that receive the award what impact it's really had and what a difference it's made in the organization.
Absolutely. It will actually be a showcase for that. And we are so excited to be, hosting that kind of thing where a company can stand up and say, hey, you know, this is how a coaching program has benefited us. This is how it's impacted our bottom line. And, you know, this is how it's grown our leadership and everything else in between.
Sounds very exciting, Molly. Can you... I'll ask you in a few minutes to give the details of how people can join us at this event. And before I introduce Jessica a little further, I'd like to remind our listeners that if you would like are live with us and would like to call in with any questions or speak with Molly or Jessica, you can reach us at 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. We look forward to your questions and your calls. Jessica, we are so excited at ICF Phoenix to have this incredible relationship with Stephen Covey and with the Franklin Covey organization. I understand you've been with them for over 15 years and that you continue to be one of their star performers. So tell us a little bit about the Franklin Covey philosophy and also about this new book that Stephen Covey has, The Speed of Trust.
I would love to. Thank you so much, Tamara, and thank you for the kind words. And likewise, we are thrilled to be partnering with the International Coach Federation on the event on June 28th and to be part of this, really this movement. Stephen actually wanted me to send his regards and to relay how excited he is to come down and be a part of this day. He's very much a champion of any event like this that promotes celebrating developing those relationships on the individual level that really go in the concentric circle and affect so many layers of teams, organizations, and eventually society. So a little bit about Franklin Covey. Just in brief, we are thrilled to be a global organization at this point. Many people know us from the two organizations that formed in 1977 that merged to become Franklin Covey, which was Franklin Quest, as well as the Covey Leadership Center. We are now in over 50 countries around the world. Our content and different processes have been translated into over 37 different languages. And the piece I'm here to represent today is Stephen M. R. Covey's New York Times best-selling book, The Speed of Trust, The One Thing That Changes Everything. I spend a large deal of my time working with our clients around the concepts in the book, around our processes that we've designed that they are incorporating into their teams and organizations, really helping them and informally coaching them around accountability measures so that they can get some pull-through and results over time based on these concepts. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's really fascinating, Jessica. I understand you're the senior client partner for the Western region for Franklin Covey, and we are so pleased that you can work with us on this PRISM event and also in helping. You were one of the people that really helped us to get Stephen Covey here to this event and on the ground in Phoenix. I love your phrase of the Franklin Covey mission is to enable greatness in people and organizations everywhere. And it sounds like you're really doing that. You're having a worldwide impact.
We are. It's been wonderful. And specifically with the Speed of Trust book and work itself, Stephen has been in over, I believe, 35 countries. The book itself is translated in, I think, 27 different languages. He's worked with diplomats, heads of state, leadership from various countries and cultures. And there's elements where these principles of trust are concerned that really don't know any boundaries. And so it's just been wonderful to hear him talk about his experiences globally and the relevance of trust and how it consistently impacts two variables that Stephen has identified being speed and cost. And that, you know, these concepts of trust are at play and at work all the time in every relationship, within every team, whether it be a personal or a professional interaction, that the principles of trust are either being built or they're not. And the impact on getting things done quickly in an effective way and reducing costs over time and how that's impacted or how it's impacted positively or negatively.
Jessica, would you mind sharing from your experience some examples of that might help the audience even further understand the principles that Stephen Covey's talking about in the book?
I'd love to. And, you know, one thing that Stephen says, and a little background on Stephen maybe before I talk about that, just briefly. Some of our listeners might be familiar with the name Stephen Covey. And the Stephen Covey we're talking about today is Stephen M. R. Covey. He is the eldest son of Dr. Stephen R. Covey, who is the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, the best-selling business book of all time for about 10 years, and it still is. And it was under his father's appointment that Stephen M. R. Covey, his eldest son, actually ran our old company, Covey Leadership Center, for 3 years. And under his advisement, he was able to take that company to the single largest training and development with a leadership focus organization in the world at that time. And Stephen M. R. Covey, as the oldest son, was actually featured in his father's book as the clean and green story. So some people might be familiar with that and know what that means and get a good chuckle out of that. And Stephen likes to poke fun at himself in public settings. But after his tenure as the CEO of Covey Leadership Center, he took some time to sort of go and be very reflective and really process through a lot of the things that he learned during the course of that time in his life. And that's really when he came out with the concepts found in The Speed of Trust. Many people say, wow, this is such a relevant book with the collapse of the economy and, you know, the fraud and the Enrons and the things like that are going on. And ironically, The Speed of Trust was built and actually published in the year 2006, which was really the height of, you know, the economic boom in the last decade. And it's really become into the front and center of relevancy as far as organizations truly embracing the principles and concepts the last couple of years. So it's been an interesting journey. And we like to say that, you know, trust is the one thing that changes everything. And we have about a decade of research behind the topic of trust. And we've learned that trust is truly that thing that changes everything else you're trying to do within your organization or business. And we have three big ideas that we've discovered in this journey. The first is that trust is financial, that it's not just a soft social virtue. And a Watson-Wyatt study recently found that the total return to shareholders for organizations with high trust measures is almost 3 times higher than organizations with low trust. The second idea is that trust is the number one leadership competency today. And we truly believe and have seen this play out over and over and over, that if leaders are not credible, what other competency can possibly compensate for that? We believe that trust is the bedrock of competency. And in fact, we say it's the one thing that drives all other leadership competencies. And finally, the third big idea is that trust is learnable and measurable. And this is possibly the most exciting concept around the speed of trust, because, you know, many of us believe that we're stuck with the level of trustworthiness we currently have. We just can't do anything about it. It's our reputation. It's who we are. Perhaps you can't change one's character. things of that nature. But that's just not true. We found that when we deconstruct trust into a language and identify behaviors that people can do something about, that we can actually get good at trust and increase our own credibility, with sort of the underpinning being that credibility and behavior are what we call the mechanics of trust.
So that's really interesting, Jessica, because I think it fits really well with the coaching paradigm and the competencies that we all coach our clients for in helping people to create better businesses, better lives, and more powerful experiences. And so it seems to me like there's a great synergy between the speed of trust and what Stephen M. R. Covey is telling us, along with the foundation, really, that was laid by his father and by the Franklin Covey organization. And before we get into more questions for Jessica, I'd like to remind anybody that's on live with us, you can call in at 424-243-9638. And we would be delighted to have your questions. Jessica, this is the Franklin Covey organization has been a really important one in the United States and internationally for a long time. And can you tell us a little bit about the evolution of the organization itself and how it moved from Franklin Covey leadership to the Franklin Covey organization and kind of redefining its mission and its focus?
Absolutely, I would love to. So we have sort of two different organizations that came together in 97. The one, Franklin Quest, people probably are familiar with the bedrock of that organization. It was founded by Hiram Smith, who started the business out of his basement putting planners together. And so they were really known with the Franklin Planner and the Planner Concept System. And we're world famous for training literally over a million people in the time quest, time management process of productivity. And at the same time, on the other end of the valley here near our global headquarters in Utah, Stephen Covey had finished and published The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and the small startup leadership development firm under the name of Covey Leadership Center was taking off. And both organizations offered training to individuals. We did and still do certification or train the trainer for many of our different content, higher level consulting and systems and process work, more strategy work at a higher level within an organization. And in 1997, we like to say that Stephen R. Covey and Hiram Smith went to the mountain together and came down and announced to everyone that we were going to be one big happy family. And so while we had a couple of years of growing pains and merging the family together and figuring out, who was who and which direction we were going, we really came together near the, around the year 2000 after we got all the kinks worked out and got a few things aligned and our thinking straight and really embraced the concept that we strive to be the global leader in leadership development. Our CEO, Bob Whitman, is very passionate about this. You were right. You mentioned that our company's mission statement is that we enable greatness in people and organizations everywhere. And every subset of that mission, our vision, our values is a derivative of that. The way that we work is very much aligned with the way that we work with clients. We have a lot of accountability measures with ourselves here internally. We're all, we try to be very genuine disciples of the things that we help our clients with as well. We're human, so, we falter too. And experience the same challenges and difficulties as most organizations. But the momentum that we have seen from the different platforms that we work with has been very exciting. We recently broke the 400 school mark with our The Leader in Me program, which is an iteration of the Seven Habits. That's a process for elementary schools to follow in order to achieve really great results between their administrators, their teachers, and their students, and have some wonderful momentum in that vein. We have a huge, huge initiative with the Veterans Administration going to help them. You've probably seen lots of new VA ads on TV lately, sort of rebranding and reimaging themselves. So we have a great partnership there. And I could go on and on with some different, you know, client examples, but it's a very exciting time here for us right now.
Yes, and we're really pleased to be in partnership with you on this. Molly, tell us a little bit about the actual event for the PRISM Award for ICF and also for the opportunity for people to come and be in the audience and up close with Stephen M. R. Covey.
Sure, I'd love to do that. The award luncheon will be Thursday, June 28th. It's going to be held at the Arizona Biltmore starting at 11:45 a.m., and our doors will open at 11 for registration and for our sponsors to be there with information about their companies and their ventures. And we'll award the award at the luncheon, and then we'll move to a different venue within the Arizona Biltmore there and begin the leadership symposium with Stephen Covey. And that will go from 1:45 to 4:30. So it's going to be an action-packed day. We're just thrilled that we have the Arizona Biltmore, and it's such a gracious, you know, Phoenix venue, and so we're very excited to have that.
And how would people sign up for the event? And or if they choose to be a corporate sponsor of the event, how would they do that as well?
Well, we do have some amazingly generous corporate sponsors so far, and that has enabled us to reduce the price so that people really can take advantage of this opportunity to be in the room with Stephen Covey and learn more about leadership and trust. And so all anybody has to do, whether they would like to get on board in sponsorship or to just simply attend the event, is to go to our website. And that is www.icfphoenix.com, and look for the PRISM Award tab, and you will see all the information you need for registration, for sponsorship, and for participation in the event. And we welcome everyone who wants to, you know, learn more about coaching, learn more about the speed of trust. We just would love to have everybody on board, as many leaders as possible, any promising young up-and-coming stars. It's a wonderful opportunity for leadership development, and we welcome everyone.
So what's the cost to... for people to attend the entire event, including the luncheon, and or if a corporation is interested in being a sponsor, what might it cost them and what perks do they receive in being a sponsor?
To come to attend the luncheon and the symposium is $175, unless you happen to be a chapter member or one of our affiliates, and then there's a special price at $125. And the sponsor rate is $4.95 per seat. And so, you know, we're open to having sponsors at, you know, that amount and up from there.
And if I chose to be a sponsor, for example, or my company did, what special perks come along with that fee?
Well, one thing is to be involved at the ground level for launching this award here in Phoenix. It's actually a very prestigious award, and there's going to be a great impact on the Phoenix community by bringing this award into the Phoenix Valley. So that's one huge win to be associated with that. And then, of course, you know, there will be a private reception with Stephen Covey preceding the event, and there will be display tables that the sponsors can get some exposure with their services and their products. And then, of course, there will be special seating for both the luncheon and the symposium. And so we're very excited about the sponsorship opportunity.
Molly, yes, I have a question.
I'm sorry,
I just had a quick question for Molly. Are you still accepting nominations for, is ICF still accepting nominations for the PRISM Award, or are those closed?
Well, we did close those as of the first of the month. They're in process. The selection process is happening right now. And, you know, if someone was ready with a application maybe tomorrow, we might be able to consider it. But beyond this, it's probably going to have to wait until next year.
Yeah, thank you, Jessica, because a big piece of this is also honoring and recognizing corporations who have used coaching as a leadership development strategy, and also the coaches who've worked with those companies. And this is really laying the foundation for building a future of encouraging the community to recognize the value of coaching, and also to reward those companies in some ways, give them some recognition for being the leaders in that in the Phoenix area. I also had a question, Molly, for you about the date again. Can you remind people of the date and remind them again of how to go on our website to sign up or to get more information?
Sure. That's June 28th. It's a Thursday, and it will start at 11:45 and go through the afternoon till 4:30. And the website is www.icfphoenix.com.
And I would like to also give you the phone number if anybody wants to call in with a question for either Molly or Jessica at 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. Jessica, you mentioned something earlier when you were giving us the three aspects that are focused on in the book about the value of trust. And I was excited when you said that it's actually possible for people to be able to learn and measure trust and to shift how they are doing business. Can you give us some examples of how that might play out in an organization that you've worked with?
I absolutely can. And I might start with a little story about Frito-Lay, who is one of our great longer-term customers with the Speed of Trust, and we feature Frito-Lay's CEO, former CEO, but was CEO for many years, Al Carey, in a video case study on our website, myspeedoftrust.com, tells this story, a little bit about the story. I know a little bit more to the story, but the Frito-Lay and PepsiCo organization, very, you know, manufacturing industry, very results-driven, very bottom-line-driven, and had an HR leader interested in the Speed of Trust concepts and process, and brought it in sort of in the executive overview format. And I have to say, when we first presented that, their executives, including their CEO, Al Carey, weren't real impressed. Weren't real interested, I should say. You know, yeah, that sounded good, but, you know, trust, it just kind of sounds like a feel-good notion, and, you know, we're just not sure how it could help us. And so putting in context one of the tools that we use in the Speed of Trust process for participants is around the behaviors of high trust leaders that we've identified. And we've identified 13, you know, key behaviors of high trust leaders. And we've actually placed these behaviors on a deck of cards. And those are one of the tools that a participant who goes through a work session receives. And by the way, everybody that comes out to the June 28th session will get a deck of these cards. But,
oh, goody. Oh, yay.
Yes, they're a great tool. And nearly all of the intellectual property we have in this process is on these deck of cards, so it's they are very nice. But going back to the Frito-Lay story, so this HR director decided that she was going to pilot a couple of groups at Frito-Lay anyhow and go forward with the process, and wasn't going to be a you know, top-down rollout, but she was going to do this in spite of the sentiment, and went ahead and did it. And so, as you know, in the manufacturing industry, there's a lot of, collaboration or not that either, you know, speeds things up or slows things down in between departments, with vendor relationships, many different levels, speed and costs are impacted. And so Al Carey, their CEO, was walking through one of their departments one day and saw two different leaders from different groups within the company who had a little bit of conflict between the two groups that was slowing some of their business down, sitting down and talking out a business challenge they were having. And they were actually using their trust cards. They literally got out the 2 to 3 behaviors on these cards that were most relevant in solving their challenge at hand, and were going back and forth, speeding up the solution to the problem. And he didn't know what they were doing, but he saw they were doing something. And, you know, he knew the dynamics between the two. And I guess he said, "What are you doing?" when he walked by these two. And from there, he really had a paradigm shift about the concept of the speed of trust, you know, and how that really does impact speed and, in turn, costs within the dynamics of doing business. And so at that point, you know, from there forward, they did decide to take the concepts, go organization-wide, and they have measure after measure after measure, from employee engagement to increased sales in a year of huge economic downturn, where much of their competition was either going out of business or, you know, suffering huge losses, that Frito-Lay was able to actually grow their business, improve their key vendor relations. In fact, the business results were so significant, they decided to include their vendors in the learning process to even impact the elements of speed and cost and, you know, getting better results as an end result. So it was a very exciting, you know, and we see examples like that over and over and over.
That is exciting, though, particularly when you see people having those aha moments that just move your head.
And I have one other example, if you'd like it, that I'd be willing to
share. Absolutely.
And I'm using company names with permission, just so you know. We work with the computer company Lenovo, and many of you have seen, I believe it's a processor piece, within computers, and they, you know, were having some challenges with employee engagement, and, you know, had enlisted a company, you know, a third-party company, not ours, not theirs, to come in and do some measurement around some different components in the organization, and employee engagement was very low. I believe it was somewhere in the 40 percentile, might have been the 50s. However, what they wanted to do by employing the concepts and the learning processes around the speed of trust was to try and move the needle a few percentage points up on employee engagement. And we went ahead and, you know, worked with their leadership team and a group of mid-level managers in this process, and really helping them learn the concepts of the speed of trust, and help them set some specific goals from X to Y by when, and make assignments with commitments to some of their leaders. And within 12 months' time, they were actually able to move their employee engagement dial 11 percentage points up. And this organization that had helped them with their initial measurement thought it was a mistake when they had come back and remeasured, you know, some of their culture markers. And they said, no, it actually isn't. And they had, different measures that reinforced that the engagement had gone way up because other elements of their business had also improved so dramatically.
That's exciting results that you're getting, Jessica, from that. Yeah, very exciting. I understand, Jessica, from some notes I have about you, that for the past 3 years you've earned the A-plus Player of the Year Award within Franklin Covey. What does that mean, and how did you achieve that?
Oh, thank you. Nice of you to recognize. I appreciate that. And I will acknowledge that is within the Western region here at Franklin Covey. It is a it's a team vote that we have a team of about 60 individuals, and we have some different categories that once a year at our annual sales conference that we win awards for, and the A-plus player is one of them, and it's really an honor to me to have won that award. And I had kind of a unique opportunity to be able to win that award, in that I have been able to serve as a team leader for a group of junior executives within our region. And, again, team leader / informal coach, but really helping them to, learn the ropes, learn, best practices, do a lot of the things to engender trust, to help them succeed, within their role, within our team, and within our company. And so I actually do think I had a little bit of an unfair advantage in getting nominated for that award just because of my role as team leader. But it's been a real honor to watch these people grow over the last several years, and the joy that comes along with that for them individually, and the contribution that comes along with that we get to celebrate as a team.
Yes, and you're right. It is a great honor to be recognized by your colleagues. It really is. Yeah. And Molly, you do some very interesting coaching, because I know that you have a specialty in your coaching of working with dentists in building their businesses, but also in supporting them as their coach and also having a powerful and effective life. Tell us a little bit about how you approach that and what outcomes you're helping them to achieve in their businesses as well as in themselves.
That's a great question. Thanks for that, Tamara. Well, what's really exciting for me is when I'm working, and I do work with Levin Group. They are the leading dental consulting firm here in the United States, and we have three basic programs. One is a practice management program, one is a marketing program, and the other one is the executive coaching program. I'm active in all three, and I so love the coaching program, because that's when I see these doctors who have been educated to do dentistry start to really understand, really get their hands around what leadership is all about, because a lot of the coaching does center around leadership development. And along with that, I find in all the coaching I do, whether it's leaders or coaches or, anyone, is that aspect of personal leadership. And I was loving hearing Jessica talk about the impact of the speed of trust on these organizations and on their leadership teams, because, as coaches, that's one of the main elements that we're always, always working with, is that trust. And, along with awareness, anytime we can grow a client's awareness so they are seeing a bigger field, so that they're stepping out of whatever box they're in, beyond whatever limiting beliefs they are holding, to be able to see possibilities where there weren't possibilities before, and then also to expand that realm of choice that goes with that. When you can see more, you see, I have more choices. And then, the thing that fuels all of that to get results is the trust. And and that's why I'm just so excited that, you know, we have this opportunity to delve further into, you know, how do we build this trust, because it's such a key element. So back to your question of, you know, what happens, you know, when I'm working with a leader like this, the transformation doesn't just stay in the leadership realm as it applies to the doctor's business and, you know, their work with their teams, et cetera. But it goes beyond that. It goes into the personal level. They come back and they say, you know, I've become a bigger person. And that to me is just so ultimately satisfying, because the ripple effect of that, then, you know, they're in their families being like that, they're in their community being like that, they're in their business being like that, and there's so much benefit that happens from that, because then, of course, the ripple goes out from there. So that's what I look for, is getting the clients to see new possibilities, to make better choices, become more successful, to start using their strengths more, get creative about overcoming their challenges and issues that previously might have been a showstopper, you know, and they would just go into a void mode, you know. They do. They start to play a bigger game. They get more aligned with their values. And those are the results that, as a coach, you know, I at the end of the day, gives me great, great satisfaction.
Molly, within the Levine Group, are there other coaches that are also doing the business coaching that you're doing, or is it fairly unique for Levine to be doing this at all compared to other business consulting organizations?
Well, I think we have found that there is a real need to go beyond just a straight consulting strategy and bring the coaching in, because it's Levin Group has, you know, as its tagline, improving the lives of dentists. And so as a company, our CEO is very much on board with the whole person approach. And he understands how coaching can address that in a way that some of the other programs don't. And so it's there for the taking. I don't know how many other consulting companies offer coaching. I think it's becoming more and more widespread as people see the effectiveness of it and the success that it brings. But this company is a leader in that, in terms of making that available to its clients.
And you, I understand, went through the Adler Learning Program, and you're also a faculty member with Adler. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about Adler Coaching School and a little bit of when you took your training and when you graduated?
Yes, I went through Adler starting in 2005. I believe that it's one of the finest coaching training programs out there. A little bit biased, but anyway, it's very much founded on the Adler philosophy, which is very humanitarian, which is, you know, there's that juxtaposition of a person who has individual strengths and gifts and wants to express those, wants those to be at what their life is all about, but yet they find themselves in community, in a family, in a school, in a professional situation, in the larger community. And so the whole dilemma of human evolution is to find a way to make that unique individual package in service to the larger community. And I love that piece of the Adler philosophy that drives, it's kind of an underpinning in the coaching philosophy as well. And so we're always, you know, playing on both of those levels. You know, how can we strengthen the person, and then how can the person make the best use of their gifts and talents in service to their communities?
Mm-hmm. And you also serve as adjunct faculty, right, to Adler?
I do. I teach their a couple of their courses, and one in particular has leadership as one of its elements, and that, of course, is one of my passions, because I've always just really loved bringing out the best in others, and so I love bringing that piece into coaching and showing coaches really how important that personal leadership is, whether there's leadership by position or not, you know, mm-hmm. to work with someone on the level of personal leadership where they're making intelligent choices for themselves and they're really understanding that service is, you know, such a key element of growth and development.
That's great, Molly. And part of your service, I know, is to be the president of the local ICF chapter here in Phoenix. And that's our chapter is totally run by volunteers. So share with us a little bit about what it means to be president of our chapter.
You know, the chapter is just such a wonderful community of like-minded people. You know, we represent that standard, that excellence of coaching. And we're all committed to that, and we're all interested in continuing our education and our growth and development. I think that's why we're so excited to be able to come and spend time with someone like Stephen M. R. Covey, who has so much to offer us, you know, especially that particular topic, both leadership and trust, that we use so much in our work. And so it's just a delight for me to come to our meetings, to be with other coaches. There's something about coaches, I don't know what it is, whether we've, in the course of our training, have undergone some personal transformation, but, you know, coaches just have this resilience and this way of seeing possibilities that I just love to be around. And so for me personally, it's a great thing. And for the community, what it offers is, you know, that level of coaching as a profession that stands for excellence. It stands for professionalism. And businesses here, anybody who hires an ICF credentialed coach or even an ICF member coach who's on the credentialing track but hasn't quite gotten there yet, they can be guaranteed that we've been exposed to the best practices of coaching and the excellence and the competencies, and that will most likely give them the biggest bang for their buck. So we're very proud as a chapter to be as strong as we are in this community.
Yes, and can you tell people a little bit more, you mentioned it, but about why you think it's important for people to actually have coach training and then also to be a credentialed coach?
Well, you know, anybody can say I'm a coach, and a lot of people are, and I've heard so many stories, especially being faculty member in a coach training program, about people who come in and say, well, you know, I am a coach, and I've been coaching people for years now, but, you know, my company wants me to be certified, so I'm going through this program, you know. And then 3, 4, 5 days later, they're saying, oh, my goodness, I had no idea what I didn't know. And I'm so glad that I'm in this training, that I'm learning what I'm learning, because what I was doing before, I could not now call coaching. And because we're such a young profession, we're a relatively new industry, I think that there's a lot of confusion about what coaching is and what it isn't. And so the ICF strives to define that for us and say what it is and what it isn't, and say, you know, these are the things you need to study. These are the types of processes you need to be familiar with in order to really call yourself a coach as we're defining it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if people were interested in knowing more about coach training or what it means to be a coach, what resources would you direct them to?
Well, certainly the ICF itself, International Coach Federation, has a tremendous resource right on its website of all the credentialed coaches in its organization. And it also has a lineup of all the accredited coach training programs that you can, go through and start learning that body of knowledge.
And we might want to mention to people that a lot of those programs are virtual, and
yes,
so people
yes,
can
are.
Do them online or in small groups, and some of them are actually on the ground in your community. And, as Molly
and
said,
are,
a, pardon?
And some are a combination of both. I know in
yes.
Adler, Adler has a presence both in Toronto and in Phoenix, and it has the classes locally here are face-to-face, and then as you go into the practicum situation, that's a more virtual kind of training. So in this particular training program, it's a both and. But yes, there's some that are strictly virtual and some that are a mix.
So even if you don't have a coach program right in your community, you still can get the training that you may be seeking if you would like to become a life coach, an executive coach, a business coach. We have so many people with different niches in our chapter for different types of coaching. Molly, perhaps you can give some examples of those.
Well, we have, Tamara's absolutely right. We have such a wide variety. We have the business coaches. I was talking to someone recently who is thinking about specializing even in family business coaching. We have people who are team coaches. We have people who are health coaches in some area or another, whether that be weight loss coach or a training coach. We have people who are coaches in the educational realm. We have coaches, obviously, in the leadership realm, in the corporate realm, in the executive realm, and we have many coaches who are what we call life coaches, and even in that, there are various different specialties. Some are more spiritual in nature. Some are, you know, more around parenting. So there's a lot of different ways that coaching is out there helping people right now, and it's just exciting to see, you know, what coaches bring to the profession and, you know, what avenues open up as a result. It's just an exciting time to be in coaching.
Thank you, Molly, for that. And I'd like to remind our audience, we have a few minutes left. If you'd like to give us a call here, you can reach us at 424-243-9638. And excuse me. Sorry about that. Jessica, within the Franklin Covey organization, when M.R. Covey was writing The Speed of Trust, how do you all collaborate with him in writing his books? Like, does he try some of his exercises out with all of you before they go into publication, or how does that work?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
However, we do have the great privilege to be, you know, some of the first to get to preview, you know, what comes out. And he does have a small team of writers that assist him and help him gather, you know, some of the anecdotal and statistical stories and collaborate with him. But we are privy to, you know, the very first release of the materials and, of course, his excitement and his initial, his initial, you know, engagements where he talks with us a little bit more about what's coming next. In fact, this January he released the follow-on book to The Speed of Trust that's actually called Smart Trust. And it's about creating prosperity, energy, and joy in our low-trust world. And it's really about the power of extending what we call smart trust as a leader. And, you know, like Molly said, and very similar to the process of personal and leadership coaching, it's about starting with the self and how, you know, how you perceive your own propensity to trust and how do others perceive it and building from there.
Mm-hmm. So it really resonates well, not only with coaching, but some of the same principles are involved.
It is. And, you know, as far as implementing some of these key concepts around the speed of trust, Stephen will often talk about three key processes in developing trust with others, extending trust with others, and restoring trust where you need to, and how to identify those things with your stakeholders and what to do next. They're very powerful components in, you know, developing trust as a competency.
Well, and I was very excited to hear that you can recover that if you've lost trust. That,
isn't,
you know,
that great?
Yes, it is, because I think I think a lot of us have tended to believe that once it's gone forever and it can't be restored. And so I think it's very uplifting and also very exciting to think about how we can restore and rebuild as well as to move ahead.
Absolutely.
Yes. Molly or Jessica, would you like to provide any other comments before we sign off today? And Molly, before we end, we'll remind people again how they can sign up for this event, for the PRISM Award. But any pearls of wisdom you'd like to leave us with today?
Well, again, the website is icfphoenix.com, and there is a whole section of our website that's devoted to this, and it will be very easy to find the registration.
Great. Okay, ICF Phoenix, the PRISM Award. Jessica, would you like to make any comments or add anything for our audience today?
You bet. In closing, again, how excited we are as an organization and how excited Stephen M. R. Covey is personally to be able to partner with and collaborate with ICF in the upcoming event on June 28th, and how compatible and, you know, really similar the direction that, you know, both of our visions take us in together is bringing us to a really exciting point. And would just, you know, remind everyone that we do believe that trust is that hidden variable that when you bring it in as a multiplier will help everything go faster and get the results that you want.
Well, Jessica and Molly, I'd really like to thank you for a very interesting program today and remind our callers we'll be on next month, same time on the third Friday of the month, from 2 to 3 live, and you can listen to us anytime on Blog Talk Radio. And Jessica, we look forward to being with you and Mr. Covey. Sorry, my voice is going, audience. On June 28th, and you can register again at ICF Phoenix for the PRISM Award. Thanks again to Molly and Jessica. We look forward to being with you next month. Goodbye.